Today's second Sunday after the Epiphany. The epistle is taken from St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we have gifts differing according to the grace that has been given us. Such as prophecy to be used according to the proportion of faith. Of ministry in ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhorting, he who gives in simplicity, he who presides with carefulness, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without pretense. Hate what is evil, hold to what is good, love one another with fraternal charity, anticipating one another with honor. Be not slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer. Share the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of one mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but condescend to the lowly. We stand up to hear the most holy gospel. It's taken from St. John. At that time, a marriage took place at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now Jesus was invited to the marriage, and also his disciples. And the wine, having run short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "What wilt thou have me to do, woman? My hour hath not yet come." His mother said to the attendants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone water jars were placed there after the Jewish manner of purification, each holding 2 or 3 measures. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Jesus said to them, "Draw out now and take to the chief steward." And they took it to him. Now when the chief steward had tasted the water after it had become wine, not knowing whence it was, though the attendants who had drawn the water knew, the chief steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at first set forth the good wine, and when they have drawn freely, then that which is poorer. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This first of his signs Jesus worked at Cana of Galilee, and he himself manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. That the word of the most holy gospel, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Take a seat. Okay, dear friends, we are starting the Sunday after Epiphany. The wedding of Cana of Galilee is the third manifestation of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first being the Epiphany, second the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the third this miracle which only God can do, to convert, to transform water into wine, only God can do. So first, I would like to focus In a recommendation of St. Paul, which is also in the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, when St. Paul says, be of one mind towards one another, and after being of one mind, he said to practice charity, one towards the other, being patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer, share the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, the words of mercy. But I want to focus on this point because also the Gospel, according to Saint Augustine, the good wine that our Lord kept to the end for us, in this case for the wedding, but also for us, is the truth of the Gospel, the news of the Gospel that he preached to us, is the good wine that God left towards the end, which is the last two centuries. And if the Gospel is precisely the good wine which makes us love our Lord and receive his blessings, it's precisely because the faith, our Holy Catholic faith, is the foundation, is the most important, is the entrance to the Catholic Church, is the entrance, necessary entrance to the sacraments, necessary entrance to baptism, is the necessary requirement to enter heaven. This is why St. Paul said, be of one mind towards one another. This is the only union God promises on earth, dear faithful. So, to be united in our faith. It's an extremely important principle that many people are forgetting, especially matrimonies. A matrimony, a family, a group, a community, a religious community, monasteries, seminaries, Catholics, priests, bishops, popes, so whoever Catholic will be able to be united to God, to the saints, and to the rest, if we are united in faith, in the same faith of the apostles, in the unity of the faith, is the only possible union of men on earth. See? Even the family ties is not a union, a strong union, if it's not founded upon faith. Exactly what is missing in many traditional communities, which are divisions and dissensions, precisely because they are not worried in trying to unite a community on the faith. And even priests, if they are not united among themselves, because they don't pay attention and focusing in uniting the community in the faith. So it is important to focus on this because it's the origin of the crisis precisely. For example, a person who is a heretic, they, as soon as they go astray from doctrine, the church sends to them one, two admonitions, praying for them, expecting that they will come back to the faith. And if they don't come back to the faith, God decides, the church decides to formalize the heresy and edicts a condemnation of that person until the conversion may come in the future. This is why the Holy Inquisition focused on that. The great kingdoms of the Middle Ages, that was the most important for them, to keep the unity in the faith, in doctrine. This is why it was the most powerful punishment. If someone would go astray from doctrine or want to disperse heresies or false doctrines upon the people, upon the town, upon the, because it's a seed of division. It's a seed of crushing the common good of the society. See, of God himself, of his blessings upon us. So always has been the most important for a Catholic, for a community, for a family, to be well founded but in faith, so that the charity will grow up and will be doing fruits and be fostered. Charity cannot be fostered, cannot exist, cannot grow without faith. Why? Because charity and faith both are what unite us with God. First faith and after charity. So if we don't have a strong faith, it means that we are not united with our Lord strongly, or we don't want, or we are not, in fact. Therefore, charity cannot grow. It's why doctrine has to be growing in proportion to our prayers. The more piety, the more prayer, the more we want to pray, or we need to pray, the more doctrine we should have. So if we spend, for example, 1 hour in prayer every day, we should spend also 1 hour in doctrine, in studying doctrine, catechism. But this is the weakest point of Catholics today, doctrine. They are not interested. They don't know. This is why our Lord said in the Apocalypse that the reason why the Antichrist shall be able to deceive many shall be because the lack of love for truth. Because people will not be interested in loving truth or looking after truth. Going in depth into the doctrine, their faith. So if they are not interested, the lack of love for truth means they have another priorities above truth, above doctrine, above faith. And that deviation of the will towards the essential, which is God and his doctrine and his love, causes that they go astray from the path to salvation. So this is why matrimonies, they will not last if they are not founded in the same doctrine. Because for two hearts to be united in love, first they have to be united in mind. This is the wrong mistake, the mistake of many future couples who want to get married. They don't pay attention to the union in mind in the faith. Union of minds in the faith, in the Catholic faith. They want first to be united in their hearts, which if they are not founded on faith, they are so weak, the union, because they are not founded on faith, that they could be broken easily, divided. And they had the temptation of divorce, annulments, all these temptations, and eventually. And that happened also for the communities. So in the community, the superiors having fallen into the temptation that please people, please benefactors, to please the weak people, those who gossip, those who complain. So they put priority upon those people than to pleasing God and to be moved by doctrine. Nowadays, people doesn't have the fortitude to prefer God and persecution. If it's happened, this is the case today. Those who defend God, those who serve God, those who follow God, necessarily are under persecution, necessarily. So people don't have the fortitude or the strong faith or strong charity to do that. Rather, they prefer to be at peace with the world, with the people, and to put aside the things of God in order to please people and to be out of problem or out of trouble. So this is extremely important principle, dear friends. It's actually the main teaching of Archbishop Lefebvre. And the faith and the charity of people have been tested by the so-called vaccine, which is not a vaccine, you know, it's a poison, yes, to control. But people who has faith as a priority, and to please God and to love God and neighbor for the love of God, immediately they saw that because the so-called vaccine breaks five commandments, was out of the question to put in themselves the jab. Was out of the question completely. But people who had not the faith as a priority, but their conveniences, the human peace, this world, the benefits of this world, immediately they look first as a focus and the benefits and the will of God, the commands of God were a secondary issue. They were not interested in what God will think about that. So this is the majority of Catholics. They focus on themselves and the benefits in this world, to enjoy this world, to be at peace, a false human peace with this world, with the families, with the benefactors, with the appearances before the others. This is why it was a major test, in this moment is going on, a major test of our faith, of our hope, our charity. So we are obliged to fight back with all our might against this so-called vaccine. Because I say again, breaks five commandments. Well, I had to repeat what I had said many times, but I could repeat the five commandments, this breaking, which make it extremely bad in the moral sense. Of course, a mortal sin, at least a mortal sin, of course. Yes, it is. Has to be confessed. Has to be repented and fight back to repair that. That sin has to be a reparation for many years of fighting back that diabolical job. So I will repeat to you so that you may know that is completely unpleasing to God and immoral. So first, because it's tainted in some stages in the production, in the investigation and research, it's tainted with fetal aborted babies at some point of the production of these jabs. This is proven already. Even in the Wikipedia, it's there also. So first, the fifth commandment is broken there completely in a cruel manner, because there are babies who are alive, which are taking from them this material that they need. Secondly, it's a sin against nature because try to modify the gene, the DNA of man. It's something that the scientists step off beyond the limits of the law of God, enter into this ground of therapy gene, modifying it. This is against the human creation of God, his own image. It's a sin against nature. And thirdly, it's also proven that has technology, high technology on it to control us. So it's to allow the world, the technology, ultimately the devil to control us instead of the Holy Ghost being on the control, we under the control of the Holy Ghost and the divine providence. Next, it will be a sin against prudence, completely. I will say a mortal sin against prudence. It's an experiment which is killing amazing amount of people. It's sterilizing, it's causing many side effects as never before in the history of medicine even. And also, lastly, it's a sin of putting oneself on the hands of the new world order to work shoulder to shoulder with the world, new world order, which is governed not by God, not by Catholics, but by the enemies of God. It's to enter into this new world order This is the sin of apostasy. Instead of fighting back against the current doctrine and aims of the enemy, the people have alliance with the enemies of God by taking this pandemic, by approving it. And also a sixth sin, I will add a sixth sin of a scandal. Because by taking that, even by showing off a false certificate, are causing a scandal to all Catholics who know the gravity of this. It's a sin of a scandal. So will be at least six grievous sins to put the vaccine. So this is why Catholics, for lack of doctrine, for lack of interest in doctrine, they take this slavery, poison, apostasy, and will exterminate their life and their soul eventually if they don't repent. I tell you with a great alarm from my experience in these last two years, people who have been agreeing to follow this path of the New World Order, or whatever they offer, they are not repenting. God is allowing a kind of malediction, a kind of the devil putting his foot, his influence, his vexation, a kind of vexation upon the soul, that the people, they do not repent. They do not repent. It's very worrisome. They do not repent, or they don't see the gravity. It's really a big chastisement. So this is why we have to be aware of all this, dear friends, because the crisis obliges us to take the same measures. The opposite measures, if they want us to make us a public apostates by the so-called jab, we must fight back with the same strength, but in the opposite direction. So we must take all the weapons available, especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Holy Rosary, the consecration, the devotion to her, because she is the one who is waging the last battle. She is the one who has gone to triumph. She is the mediatrix of all graces. She is given to us by God to be our mother, our supporter, our helper, the one who knows our needs, the one who is going to teach us how to do it, the one who is going to teach us purity, prudence, fortitude, the one who is going to preserve our faith, the one who is going to tell us how and when to practice fraternal charity, which is coming up. So as our faith and hope is being put into a test for what is going on, very soon is going to be put on their test our fraternal charity. We will see a lot of people in need, starving, without lodging, having a house, being sick, being in a need to be buried, being in prisons, camps, in a grave needs, spiritual needs also, to be taught, to be corrected, to be visited, to be receive counseling. So our fraternal charity, the second commandment, will be put into a severe heroic test also, very soon. Already, but more than ever in the following months. It's why we must increase necessarily our faith, our hope, our charity, our devotion to Mary, our vigilance, and get rid of whatever attachment to sin, whatever attachment to technology, which is not necessary at all, whatever attachment to things which of this world, and to be with the whole armor ready to fight back and to give our life to God. It's a different situation than 2 years ago. We're in a severe war, frontal war. So he who doesn't feel themselves at war, they will lose everything and their soul. Very serious, dear friends. I invite you to fight back and to be at the level of the fight. And we are here to help you. This is why our Lord promised, he who asks shall receive, he who seeks shall find. Many people are in the same page, in the same fight, everybody, so ready to help each other. So take very seriously these remarks, these warnings, and let's pray more, and aim to holiness, aim to martyrdom, if God wants, but the spirit of the martyrs, which is to be ready to surrender everything in order to be faithful to God, in order to be pleasing to God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. My Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.